I always, no, let me just start by this. I had something I want to do. I'm going to do something a little different real quick. I wrestle with God about this next series. There's just certain things pastors don't want to preach about, don't want to touch. We're afraid somebody might get offended. Somebody might think something they probably shouldn't. So I wrestled with God over the last week and a half about this. And then I opened my scripture to read one morning, and he laid this on me, this verse we're getting ready to talk about. It's going to be in Luke 21, so if you want to go there, he laid it on me, and he said, and it was emphatic. You know, a point in time that God's just emphatic with you. And I said, okay, Lord, and so I gave in. You know, it's okay to wrestle with God. It's okay to struggle with what he wants to give you, with where he wants you to go, because sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes the flesh creeps up. Sometimes the me in this wants to take over. And God says, hey, look, just do what I tell you, and I'll bless it. And I said, okay, I always give in to the Lord. At least I hope I always do. Sometimes I don't, I guess. We all fall short. If I say the word Thanksgiving, what comes to mind? Turkey. All right, what else? Some people don't like turkey. Pumpkin pie. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all know I'm kind of a pumpkin freak. Family. Very good. What else? Cranberries. Cranberry sauce. I do like cranberries. Don't get me wrong. I like homemade cranberry sauce. That gelatin stuff out of the can, that ain't me. All right, that's just weird. All right, it's like cranberry jello. Not happening. All right. What else? What else you guys got there? What's that? Chaos in the kitchen. I heard something up here. Blessings, right? What else? Anybody got anything else? I don't want to leave anybody out that had a chance. Mashed potatoes. If I asked my wife, it'd be gravy, all right? We make a special gravy boat just for her. All right? She drinks out of it like a coffee cup. She loves the gravy. She's like, I'll kill you later. Dressing or stuffing. Black Friday, right? Okay. Hey, that's been associated with Thanksgiving for the last about, what, 12 years, 15 years, right? Madness of that, right? Hey, look, I've gotten some good deals at Black Friday. I ain't beating it. It ain't like it used to be, though, right? When people used to be ready to stab somebody for a TV, back when the TV's like, hey, look, we got five of them, they're $5 each, but, you know, they don't have it like that anymore. I don't know what happened. Thanksgiving. Those are great things, and we do associate them with that. But really what we're missing in Thanksgiving is the giving. I'm going to let that settle in there for a second. We got the thanks part out pretty good. The giving part sometimes can be difficult. Because giving usually means I have to, what, give something of myself out there. And so at this time of Thanksgiving, I want us to talk a little bit about that. There's a reason why these words are associated with each other, because in our giving, it's oftentimes that we're thanking for what we have. When we offer up, it's giving something back for what we have been given. And as we enter into this time of Thanksgiving, I want to talk about Luke 21. Luke 21, and we're going to begin in verse 1, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to cover these four verses, because they're so important, and there's so much more here than what you think. If I say giving, all of them, people are going to go to money. That's not necessarily the whole truth, but that's okay. Let's find out what's going on here, because we are going to talk a little bit about money. And it says this in Luke 21, verse 1, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. This is a very interesting verse, and it's going to take some wisdom to kind of sort out what's going on here. So to get that, let's go to the Lord and ask for some. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time. We're grateful that we're gathered as a family. We're grateful for your love, which falls upon us. We're grateful for your hope, which gives us strength. We're grateful for your salvation, which gives us the promise that we'll be taken care of. And that everything's going to be okay. So grateful to you, Lord, for all that you do and for all that you are. For all the wisdom you've given to us, let us continue to be poured out upon, that your wisdom would change our lives, that we'd be forever changed, that we'd grow closer to you and be more like you and less like who we used to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So back in my first days in the military, I remember being a young troop, not knowing much. I was pretty dumb. And we were out there, we were working on an airplane. And one of the things they teach you when you're working in maintenance is you use the right tool for the right job. Well, you really don't get that at first. And so the reason why you don't get it is because when you're out on an airplane, you're on a tarmac and it's really big. They're about 2 miles long sometimes. And the tool shed where you got to go check out tools at is like three-quarters of a mile away. And the truck don't always come get you. Sometimes you have to walk and walk back. And so you don't want to do that, so you work with what you got sometimes. And I remember one particular bolt that was giving me a hard time. And I'm sitting there trying to get to it and trying to do it, and it's just not working out right. And my boss comes to me and says, "You're never going to be able to get that like that. You got to go get the right tool." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we made a special tool because we know this is hard to get to." And I said, "I'll probably be able to do it." And I'm sitting there struggling. And he says, "Man, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to do it without getting the right tool." And I was like, "Well, I sure hoped I'd be able to get it." And he told me this. This is a great truth. He says, "The Air Force doesn't run on hopes and dreams. Go get the right tool." But when I found out and I grew in my love for Jesus, is that the ministry does run on hopes, our hope in Jesus Christ. It runs on the hope that we would be able to partner with you and in your thanksgivings and in your love for the church, that the kingdom may grow. You know, the kingdom, and I don't know why God made it this way, but the kingdom is reliant upon its members. It's reliant upon you. Every person here, if you're watching us online, or if you're in the sanctuary today, or if you're in the back, wherever you are, if you're listening to this, I want you to tell you, you're an essential part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? God needs you to work with Him. God wants you to. He doesn't need you to. I'm going to take that back. He don't need any of us. The minute I start to think God needs me, I've put myself way too high. But God wants us to work with Him. God wants us to partner with Him and with the kingdom of God. And what that's going to require of us is to give. It's going to require us to give. It's really going to require us to give four things. It's going to require you to give your time, your talent, your tithe, and your treasures. There are four things God's going to require of you to give. Each one is commanded of in Scripture. And now as we're moving into this, what this really is, as we come out of prayer, and prayer was a spiritual discipline, did you know that giving is a spiritual discipline? But what is a spiritual discipline? I'm glad you asked that, church. You're like, "No, I didn't." A spiritual discipline is a practice of the Scripture and His commands. A spiritual discipline requires me to practice something time and time and time again, but not just for the purpose of practicing, but spiritual disciplines will do this. They will grow you. Okay? They will grow you. Just like when I was younger and I got deployed one time and I was really bored. So I decided, "Hey, I'm gonna go work out. I'm gonna go lift me some weights. I'm gonna see how big I can get. I'm gonna see how much weight I can push." And I was on there, it was 120-day deployments, 4 months, and I was in the gym almost every day, and I was lifting, I was pushing weight. Right? I wanted to get big. I got up to benching about 320 pounds. I felt good. I was like, "Yeah, you need to go to the gym? It's over there. You got to put food in the tummy to get big." But if I wouldn't have gone time and time and time again, I'd have never grown. I'd have stayed the same as I was. The kingdom of God is no different. You must practice the spiritual disciplines time and time again in order to grow. God does not want you staying where you're at. And here in verse 1, we see that these folks are practicing the Old Testament, the Levitical giving at the temple. This was something that happened all the time. This wasn't something that came just once a year. This wasn't something they did just once a month. This was something they did all of the time. They would come to the temple and they would give. And here's these people giving of what they had. That was something that they were practicing. It was something that they knew they had to do in order to stay close to God, to understand what He was doing with them. And so there's many types of giving in the Old Testament. We'll get into that here in a little bit. But I want to tell you, when you do this, when you're practicing this spiritual discipline, it results in spiritual fruit. Pastor, I'm just struggling. I just don't feel like God's very close to me right now. I don't feel like He's listening to my prayers. Well, how's your spiritual discipline life? What do you mean, Pastor? I said, well, how much are you reading? How much are you praying? How much are you reaching out to your neighbor and saying, hey, I love you? How much are you helping people out? How much are you giving of your time, talent, treasures, and tithes? How much are you putting out there? Because sometimes to grow close to God, you know, the scripture tells us, if you grow close to Him, He grows close to you. So if we're not moving and we're not practicing and we're not doing, guess what? We're not moving closer to God. We're sitting still. And we know from the scripture in Revelation, lukewarm sitting still don't cut the butter. It will destroy us. It will destroy us. Sitting on a fence and not moving doesn't work. We've got to constantly be on the move with God, because it will bring about those spiritual fruits, things like love and joy, peace, and forbearance. You want to know how you be forbearing to your tough neighbor who's hard to live by? By the way, I have great neighbors. I'm not saying this as I have bad neighbors. I mean, there may be some neighbors watching. You guys aren't bad neighbors. I've had some bad neighbors. You guys are not. But you may have tough neighbors, and it's tough to love on them. But how much are you reaching out? How much are you giving of your time to them? How much are you giving of your love to them? How much are you sacrificing for them? Because in the end, if we're not, then we're not practicing that spiritual discipline, and fruits will not come forth. It's when we practice these disciplines that these fruits will arrive and will bear with us and through us. And I'm here to tell you that spiritual disciplines don't have to be all at once. The spiritual discipline of giving, especially, sometimes we have to start small and we got to build. You know, it's just like working out or running. When I was running in the military, look, I run for two things anymore in my life. My life and food. That's it. That's all I run for, all right? I got out of the military, don't have to run anymore. I hate running. For you cross-country people out there, God bless you, I ain't one of them. Ain't happening, not anymore. But when I was in the service, I remember I started off in my running, and I was like, I was on the slow people track for a little while in basic training, right? So they start you on a track. If you don't pass a certain time, you have to stay on the track before you can go to the road with the cool people, right? So you're stuck on the track with the slow people. That was me. I was a slow person. It took me a long time. It took me like 2 weeks to get off the track. But I finally built it up. But it was because we ran every single day but Sunday. Every single day, 6 days a week, we ran and we ran and we ran and we ran. And I couldn't wait to get out of basic training because I was tired of running. And we ran. But I'm going to tell you, I got skinny and I got fast. Believe it or not, I graduated basic training. I was 135 pounds. I was a little bitty fella. And I could run like the wind, but it took discipline. It took practice, and it took starting off small. It took starting off slow and building. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, each of you should give in your heart what you've decided to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to give, and if that means you got to start slow and giving out what is inside of you in your four T's, if it takes a little while for you to give and build up some momentum and steam, that's okay. Work on it. You know, those little things make a big difference in life, because when you start off little and you start building that steam, you start building that confidence, you start seeing that growth, you start getting more confident, and then you start building that on top of that, and then you give and you give, and then you realize this beautiful truth, and that's that it's joy that comes from practicing giving. There's a joy that comes with it. Look, it hurts at first. Lord knows every time I ran and I came home, I was like, oh, God. Wake up in the morning, your legs just throbbing. You got to get out there and do it again. But in the end, after I'd built up that resistance, there almost became this joy of being out there with people and this running and running with other people and encouraging them and being there with them and building up that team of people. What a beautiful thing. It's no different in our kingdom, folks. In the kingdom of God, we start off slow and we build and we build and we notice the blessing that comes from it. But we do have a warning against not doing this. Hebrews 5 and verse 12 through 14. In fact, though at this time you ought to be teachers, some of you need to be taught the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. See, as you're practicing these spiritual disciplines and this one of giving, you start to build in your maturity with Christ. You start to grow deeper with Him. You start to understand the importance of the spiritual discipline you are exercising. And look what it said at the end of Hebrews there. It said, under constant use, you have disciplined yourself to know good from evil. God gives us these things for a purpose, so that we may know the good from the evil, so we may do good and what isn't good, and so we may stay away from what isn't good. But in the end, sometimes it just takes a little while to get yourself going, starting off small and building up, building up and building up and building up and getting stronger and good and stronger, because what you're going to realize is that in Luke 6 verse 38, God pours out back. Given, it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, pastor, does that mean I give $1 million? I'll take it. To the church, then God's going to give me $100 million back, right? No. God pours out His blessings in many different ways. And I may not say no. I don't know. Maybe He will. I don't know how God's blessing comes back onto you, but I know that He always does pour out. I have never been disappointed when I have given, whether it be of my time, my talents, my tithe, or my treasures. It doesn't matter. I've always been blessed beyond the measure and capability of even my understanding. And that humbles me, because God owes me nothing. And I owe Him everything. Even if salvation was the only blessing and gift I ever received, I would pour out into Him for what He has done for me. Glory be to Jesus Christ. And the great thing about these gifts that you give is they're shared by all. See, God's not a stingy God. God's a gracious, loving God who loves to give in abundance. He loves to pour out on you. Sometimes we hinder him by our own pouring out. Sometimes we miss the blessing because we're not ready to receive the blessing. Because we're not giving in, we're not receiving out. But these gifts that they gave back in the Old Testament, the Levitical law, the reason why these people are coming to the treasury is because they are commanded to give these gifts. They're commanded to put into the treasury for many different reasons. But everyone benefited from these things. Some gifts went straight to God. They were burned up. They only went to God. Some gifts were brought about and they were shared amongst the people. The people could feast together. Sometimes it was only for the priest, and the priest would consume some of the portion of what was given. But in the end, it benefited everyone. It benefited everyone because it kept God close to the people. And there was many types of offerings, but there's two real big types, the heave offering and the wave offering. And the heave offering went straight to God. Didn't belong to anybody. But did you know that they could come to the temple and they could bring the people around and they could give a wave offering? They give it to the priest and the priest would wave it about the people and they would consume together the offering. There was a portion to God that always went to God, but the people enjoyed the offering as well. Imagine that. It's kind of like church today. And when you give, we participate in that. When you give financially, we have heat and air conditioning and lights in this wonderful building to worship in. And we have the online sermons that you can watch if you're not comfortable in this COVID season. And you can be in the comfort of your home and the safety of your home. And you can worship with us and be with us. And that's a wonderful thing to have. Not only that is it's through your wonderful giving. We were able to hand out candy last night and help people that were willing to give of their time. And think of all the kids we blessed. It was an amazing thing as we saw the kids coming through last night, and it started slow. All right, I don't know what time you guys usually trick-or-treat around here, but I'm used to a little earlier. I'm sitting out there at 5, and the sun's blazing right on my porch. I'm thinking the candy's melting. It's like 100 degrees on my porch. I'm dying. I'm like, good night. Somebody turn the heat off. All right? Come on, Lord. It's October. Finally, the sun went down, and we saw some kids, and we saw some more kids, and they kept coming around, and it was such a great thing. They loved the candy shoot thing we had. That's something's got to come back every year now. It was just such an amazing time, and it was only through your faithful giving that those things are possible. Whether you gave of your time or your talent or of your treasures to help us with that, it made it possible. We got kids that are downstairs right now learning a Bible lesson while we're up here. And we talk a little bit different level up here, and sometimes when you're 5, it's hard to sit still and hard to learn the lesson I'm giving right now. I'm talking a little bit above some 5-year-olds, but there's some kids downstairs right now, and they're learning about Jesus at their level. That's only possible because people give their time. See, the kingdom operates off from the offerings that we give, and we all participate in those offerings. That's why giving is a discipline. It's something we have to practice. If we don't practice it, you'll lose it. It's a use or lose. You got to practice it. If you're not practicing it, you're going to lose the blessing of it. You got to be a good stewardship with what God has given you. See, in the end, we go to Matthew 25. It's not on the board. Go back and read this story. You go read this story. I got a verse at the end, but we're not. Yeah, I got a verse at the end. We're not ready. We're getting there. See, I know I'm messing with my slide people now. I'm going to give you an overview of the story, and then we'll get to that verse. You can leave that up there. You can leave it up there. It'll be okay for them to read. You got 3 guys, and you got the master, and he gave them all some talents or some money. And each one was commanded, go and take this money and put it to work for me. And 2 of the guys, they went out and they said, okay, I'll do that. And they went out and they invested it, or they put it wherever they needed to go with it, and they grew the money. And when the master came back, he said, fantastic, great job growing my money. And one grew it a bunch, and one only grew it just a little bit, and that was okay. But the key was they didn't take what he had given them and toss it aside. He hadn't taken what had happened with the 3rd guy, and he took it and he hid it. Now, a lot of people think this is money. It's not necessarily money. This represents all the 4 T's of giving. And if you just take your time, talent, tithe, or treasure and hide it under your mattress and never share it with people, it's worthless. For that's what it tells us right here, Matthew 25, 29 through 30. It says, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Ouch. Wait a minute, you trying to tell me Jesus said stuff like this? I thought Jesus only said, I love you, and, you know, you're all right, and, you know, you're great, and we love you, and we love you just as you are. You don't need to change, and, you know, everything's perfect and good, and I'm buddy Jesus, right? You mean Jesus said, throw them out? Worthless servant. God said, don't waste what I've given you. Be a good steward of your time and your tithe and your talent and your treasures. Be a good student, but if you don't, it'll fall apart. You know, as I drive around in towns, I've been through this town, been through a lot of towns in my life, there's always different kinds of houses, you know. You go through and you see that there's some houses that are so well taken care of and they're beautiful. I think about Dave and Jim over there. They got like dueling houses going on over there. Beautiful gardens and flowers and everything else. I don't know if their wives have anything to do with it, but I know they do a lot of the work. I see them out there and they're doing a lot of work. But I'm going to tell you what, their houses are beautiful. They're well taken care of. And yet I've been in some places you could just tell the house is falling apart. That nobody's working on it. Nobody's putting anything into it. I'm here to tell you the kingdom of God is that way. And I'm not talking about the kingdom of God, the church worldwide. I'm talking about our family here. In Rossville, I'm talking about Rossville Christian Church. Look, folks, if we don't give, God will take away. It'll fall apart like a house not taken care of. If we don't put into it what we need to put into it, then God will take it away and will give it to those who will use it and will use it to His glory and will use it to His benefits. For God has granted us much wealth, time, and talent in this age. You're like, no, he hasn't. I don't know about you, my pocket's a little sore. This is the richest nation ever on earth. The riches of this nation are, don't even compare. All of the civilizations up to this point don't compare to the amount of wealth in this nation. And that's combined. I'm not talking at any point in given time. Combined, the entire wealth of every nation before now does not equal the wealth we have in our nation today. As I sit in here in this beautiful building and I look around at all the great things that we have, and it's due to your generosity and your giving, it's more than what I know my brothers in Africa have. For us to say that we do not have wealth is for us to lie to ourselves. Now, you may not have as much wealth as Bob down there down the street. And your house may be a little more modest than Bill's house over here, but you have great wealth. Let me tell you this. If you have a roof over your head, whether you own it or don't own it, you're wealthier than 40, you're part of the top 40% of people in the world. You're wealthier than 60% of the people in the world. Let that soak in. You're wealthier than 60% of the people in the world. If you have a car, I'm not saying you got to have a Mercedes-Benz. I'm not saying your car has to be a 2020 car. If you own a car, it don't matter what age, what time, what date, what kind it is. I don't care if it's a smoker, blah, 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 barely running. That puts you in the top 10% of people in the world. If you own a television, amen, I own a TV. You now made it in the top 1% of people in the world. If you own all three, you're in the top 0.1% of people in the world. You're in the top 0.1% of the wealthiest people in the world. Our country has great wealth. We have time like you can't imagine. We fill our time with things. What things do we fill it with will decide who we are. In the end, we are gifted great talents, great time, and great treasure in our United States of America. And we have got to give back to God, for that is part of the gift of the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. In 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. He said, you want to be great stewards of what I've given you? You want to do great stewards of what is to come? Then that's what you have to do. You have to give of your time, talent, treasure, and your tithe. You've got to give it to the Lord. You've got to put in, and God's going to pour out upon you, and He's going to do great things for you, because in the end it's commanded of us. Hebrews 13 verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. Everybody just kind of remain seated, please. Somebody dial 911, please.